Good afternoon, everyone. Again, it is good to be back with everyone here. If you would turn to Proverbs 12, that's where we'll be coming back to and where the lesson is based out of today. Today, I want to talk about truth. And truth today is kind of muddied a little bit. I want to sling around the word truth, and it does not mean actually what it is intended to mean. But that is not common to man. Even Pilate asked Jesus, when Jesus talked about truth, he says, "What is truth?" Even Pilate had a hard time understanding the concept of what that could truly mean. Now, we can talk about truth, and there might be a different point of view that we could say there's a common phrase, well, that's their truth, which I think is kind of absurd. There can only be one truth, and that's what we really rejoice in with Christ and with God and the way he works. But even sometimes the truth can be distorted, especially in our culture with man, with fallen man. But I want to tell you about one spring evening in 1987. Way back when, 1987, in April, is a very terrible thing that happened. 7 million American children suddenly disappeared. Do you remember this happening? 7 million children disappeared in the spring of 1987. It was actually the night of April 15th. This is really strange. It wasn't a mass kidnapping. It wasn't a serial killer. It was actually the IRS. Now, some of you hold back your booze. But they had changed a rule in 1987 on the night of April 15th, for which the first time they required a social security number for every dependent child listed on Form 1040. Okay, that was the first time they required you have proof that the child was the age that they were. Suddenly, in 1987, 7 million children who had been claimed as exemptions on the previous year's 1040 forms, all of a sudden they vanished, representing about 1 in 10 of all dependent children in the United States. Poof, just like that. Now, did that really happen? Did 7 million children just disappear? Or were a lot of people just faced with the choice to tell the truth or to lie? And they were forced to tell the truth or be punished. Every time we talk, we are faced with a choice to tell the truth or to tell something that is not the truth. Call it a lie, call it a little lie, call it a little embellishment. We have the choice between telling the truth or telling a lie. Most times it's easy to tell the truth, right? Because it's just so easy. It's, you know, what did you do yesterday? Well, I went to Walmart, went to work, brushed my teeth, you know, ate dinner. What'd you have for dinner? I had meat and chips or whatever. You know, it's easy to say factual things and have that be the truth. It's easy to tell the truth when it does nothing but benefit us, right? There's a lot of times I tell a story about how I threw a trash can through a gas station window during a tornado. You can ask me about that story later. But I like telling that story because it's the truth. It is actually the truth, and it's an interesting story. And it does nothing but make me look like a hero. So I don't mind telling that story, but Monica says it gets bigger every time I tell it. But the hardest time to tell the truth is when it could get us in trouble. Or it makes us look bad. And think about it. Have you ever really admitted that you were wrong in the middle of an argument? Right? You're fighting with your spouse. That's not what I meant. Yes, it is. No, it isn't. Okay, wait a minute. Yes, it is what I meant. No, you don't ever stop in the middle of the argument and say, that is the truth. I was wrong. Or that's not what I intended. We're going to be looking throughout Proverbs, and it has many, just in chapter 12, many scriptures about truth and wisdom and lies. I heard a quote not too long ago that said that math is the language of God. Math is the language of God. I'm like, that is interesting. Why would someone say that math is the language of God? And you think about it, math has also been described as the universal language, because you can carry this concept to any language. You add one, and now there is more than one, and they become two. The group of the two ones are now two. It is a universal language. But I think the reason why they say math is the language of God is because it is exact. There is no wiggle room. You can say 2 + 2 = 4, and no one would really argue with you about that. They wouldn't say, well, maybe it's like 3.9999 to the infinite number, higher power. No, it is exact. That's the way God works. In Numbers 23, chapter 23, verse 19, the way it talks about God, it says, God is not man that he should lie. And you think about it. When God speaks, the universe responds. Let there be light. Poof. Let there be the heavens. Poof. Let there be the animals. Here they are. All of nature responds to his words. Everything he says comes into fruition. So, as we're talking about the truth and celebrating the truth, we're going to talk about what the truth actually does for us and how God's language of the truth benefits us. So the first point I want to make this afternoon is that the truth leads us away from evil. It leads us away from evil. And it leads us away from evil even though we might not see that evil. Okay. He's a modern-day philosopher and psychologist. His name's Jordan Peterson. Some of you might have heard of him. And he's making waves by talking to, and really he speaks a lot to younger men about kind of getting their life in order. But he said something so profound that it actually inspired me to do something in my life and a situation I was dealing with at the time. But here's what he said about telling the truth. He said, whatever happens as the consequence of telling the truth is the best outcome that can happen. I'm going to repeat that again. Whatever happens as the consequence of telling the truth is the best outcome that can happen. Now you think about that. And he later on goes to say, it's an act of faith. It's an act of faith that, yes, when I tell the truth, whatever happens, even if it stings me a little bit, makes me look bad a little bit, if it's a hard message for me to deliver, that's the best outcome that could happen. God hates lies. He is nothing but truth. He says it in the Ten Commandments, do not bear false witness against your neighbor. God is so against this. So do you think that the best outcome would come from telling the truth? Yes. If not, that we are just simply pleasing God, because our yeses are yes and our noes are no. A few scriptures that talk about this in Proverbs chapter 12, in verse 13, it says, an evil man is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous escapes from trouble. Let me ask you a question. What is worse, telling the truth or getting caught in a lie? Let me give you an example. You're at work, and you're given a task, and you kind of slack off. You maybe don't get it done, or you put it off, and you don't hit your deadline. And someone comes and is like, did you get that done? And you have the opportunity to give all sorts of excuses or to simply say, no, I dropped the ball on that. Telling the truth hurts you a little bit. But in the long run, you don't get caught in a lie later on down the road. And as Christians, we know that we are pleasing God because we have simply told the truth. And that guilt that might be honest, for like, maybe I embellished a little bit, maybe I lied by omission, that guilt is not weighing on us as well. Verse 20, deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but those who plan peace have joy. Lying will only bring negative things. What does lying bring? Well, lying might save you from a bit of trouble at first, right? It might get you out of that temporary snare. But lying only brings confusion. It only brings anger. And it only brings gossip. Verse 22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. Lying to ourselves, I touched on this last time I was here, sometimes that we are the false teachers that we talk about, sometimes that is us talking to our own selves, trying to convince us of what we're doing is just fine. But lying to ourselves may be the biggest lie that we can tell. You know, I'm good enough, I'm kind enough, I'm devout enough. And we kind of live in this bubble and say, that's the level I want to reach. But the truth of what we're doing and the truth that we tell leads us away from evil. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. Okay, so the first point is the truth leads away from evil. The second point is the truth builds trust. Now the next two points, this one and the next, they kind of lend to each other. They kind of go hand in hand, but we'll get to that in a little bit. But before we get to kind of talking about this, anyone out there, you've probably dealt with a salesman at one point. A salesman to where maybe you've haggled over the price a little bit and said, can you come down to here? And he's trying to make more money off of it. You're trying to get the price down a little bit and get a little cheaper. I was renting a room from a friend of mine in his house. And he had decided, this was a long time ago, he had decided that he wanted to put a hot tub in. And I'm thinking, great, I don't have to spend a dime on this and I get free access to the hot tub. And it was a very weird situation because he didn't go to a store to buy this, but a salesman came to his house and sat down at the dining room table. And so he talked over all the requirements that would be needed for the hot tub, and he talked about all of the different styles and different amenities of every product that they had. And then he said, okay, let's get down to price. And he started at a price that was up here. He says, but you know what? I feel like this is going well. I'm going to knock a couple hundred dollars off of that. And he goes, and you know what? You live in the Edwardsville district. He goes, and I'm from Edwardsville. I'm going to knock off a little bit more. He goes, and you know what? If you let us put a sign in your front yard and it's new to this neighborhood, we'll knock off even more. And my friend, Greg, said, he just started to be blunt with him. He said, this is what I don't like about salesmen. Because you never give me the real price. It's always, oh, I'm going to knock off more, knock off more, knock off more, and then get down to it. He goes, what is the lowest price? Which I thought was pretty bold, pretty brave of him. I've never thought about just, no, give me the lowest price you got. Okay. Needless to say, the guy did not make a sale. We did not get a hot tub. And that, my friend saw that salesman and his tactics as, I can't trust this guy. I can't trust him to give me a real answer. You go to Proverbs chapter 12 in verse 5. The thoughts of the righteous are just. The counsels of the wicked are deceitful. Okay? The comments and the suggestions and the statements of the wicked are lies. You can't trust them. In verse 17, whoever speaks truth gives honest evidence. You think, but you might have a friend You might have a neighbor or a coworker or just someone that you ran into that was maybe a habitual liar, that they never really could tell the truth, or you never really suspected that they told the truth. So they could actually be telling you the truth at the time, and you're always thinking, I don't know. They're a pretty big storyteller. I don't know if I can believe that. But verse 17, this is what we should be shooting for. We want to be these people, right? Whoever speaks truth gives honest evidence. Verse 19, truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. You may have ran into someone or know someone, and they are the hero of every story they tell. You know anyone like that? The parent that thinks that they could write the book on parenting, right, on disciplining their children. I had a friend of mine that he's always bragging about his accomplishments that aren't really his accomplishments. One night I had him over, we had him over for dinner, and we start talking about playing football in high school. And he was from another town. And we just start trading stories back and forth about, you know, I said, you know, when we played Cumberland, they ran out of ambulances and they had to forfeit the game. And he's like, oh yeah, I played them one time. Yeah, I put two people in the hospital that night. I'm like, okay. And it's like every story I would tell that was truthful, he would always one-up me. To this day, I never want to talk to him about football again because I know it'll be lies. I don't trust him to tell the truth, not just about football. I don't trust him to tell the truth about his job or his family. Isn't that sad? He has lost my trust. Now, if he were truthful, I would believe him in most things that he would say. And most things he would say, I would believe him if he would tell the truth in normal conversation. When we tell the truth, even when it makes us look bad, people will trust us more. I have often told people have, and in my position, I do have employees underneath me, and sometimes they don't believe what I'm saying because A, they don't know me, and B, they don't want to accept that it's not real. And I look at them and I say, I have not told a lie in over 12 years, and I do not do that. So what I'm telling you right now is the truth. I've never had someone say, yeah, right, because no one talks like that anymore. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm saying this works. If you say, I tell you the truth. I'm not doing this for this reason, or I did do this, or I didn't do this. You are a trustworthy person. We need to tell on ourselves no matter the cost. Yeah. So what does this lead to? If we can be trusted like that, what does this lead to? Well, it leads to the fact of, I know Luke, and he doesn't lie. Why does he not lie? Okay, because he believes in the God Almighty, who is not about the lie at all. He is nothing but truth. And if Luke tells me about the gospel, maybe there's truth to that too. We need to be the light that shines to the truth, to Jesus. What does the truth do for us? It leads us away from evil. It builds trust. And the third point I want to make this afternoon is that it builds character. I wrote this sermon when the issue of being transgendered came up and became a hot topic. And it's frustrating. It's beyond frustrating. Because we are told to accept a lie and to repeat the lie when we don't really need to. We have people that are yelled at and accosted and threatened because they won't call a man a woman. And a lot of people who would like to accept that lie, don't really claim us, they don't really say that we're serious about this issue, because we don't tell the truth even when it hurts. A guy I follow, I listened to his podcast, his name is Matt Walsh. Matt Walsh, he went on the Dr. Phil show, and he was on a panel. It was him and against three other people. The three other people were promoting someone being a transgender person. And Matt Walsh was against it. It was one against three. And they used the old tactic, how has this affected you? Why do you care so much? And they thought they had him dead in his tracks. And he goes, I'll tell you exactly why I care so much. I care about the truth. And you could actually hear a few people in the crowd be like, like agree with him. But he says, I care about the truth. I want to live in a community. I want to be in a culture that values the truth above anything. Not above hurt feelings, not above wants and wishes, but the truth for truth's sake. When we hold on to the truth, this builds up our character. In verse 15 of Proverbs 12, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. And we can lie to ourselves, and we can be pressured and bullied into accepting lies, or we can speak the truth. We have to speak it, we have to value it, we have to accept it. In Matthew chapter 5, I'm going to step out of Proverbs just for our last scripture this afternoon. Matthew chapter 5, verse 33. I touched on this a little earlier. This is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And he talks about oaths briefly here. But what he says about oaths, although it may be short, it is all you need to know. Again, you have heard that it was said to you, those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Yet let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. When our yeses are yes and our noes are no, this trains us to be honest in everything that we say. And also, in turn, it leads us to be honest with ourselves as well. Brothers and sisters, don't let lies be a part of you in any fashion. Because when we are honest with ourselves and we truly are true to ourselves, we ask questions like, why am I doing this? Why am I not doing this? And then, when that character is about nothing but the truth, we give the utmost honest answers. And then we ignore excuses like, I am weak, or I am afraid, or I am sinning. When we're truthful, this leads us to change, and then we can say we are strong, we are courageous, and we are fighting sin. To close this lesson out, Proverbs talks a lot about everyday wisdom. It even talks about how to deal with neighbors. It's good to just turn open and boom, there's a load of wisdom right there in front of your eyes. But in this small chapter, it talks so much about truth. And it really highlights the pros and the cons of telling the truth or telling the lie, how we regard the truth. Now, this truth, it might be something that you've told yourself, but deep down you know that it's a lie. Maybe you're not as zealous, you're not as self-controlled, you're not as generous, you're not as loving. Or maybe there is something that you're holding back from telling someone else who is struggling spiritually. Do you care about the truth enough to let them know about it? Whatever happens as a consequence of telling the truth is the best possible outcome. If there's someone that you're needing to talk to, talk to them about the gospel. I know the fears, I have them too. It's the awkwardness. You think you're a goober, or you think you're off your rocker, or it's going to make things awkward from here on out. They're not going to want to spend time with you. Maybe that is a consequence of telling the truth. But you've told them. You've done what Jesus told his church to do. Let the message be known. The truth is what is important, and we have to spread that truth in love. I'm going to leave this lesson with you to think about that. And if you want to go back, you can read Proverbs 12 as a whole and kind of get the whole flow of the chapter and how it moves. But we live in a world that is always constantly looking for ways to skew truth. Maybe we'll call it by a different word or a different phrase, and we'll try to make it sound a little better, and then we'll slowly accept that, and then we'll move on to the next thing. What are we going to do, church? What are we going to do in this culture? Because our culture may not take us seriously because we are not telling the truth in all matters. I actually say telling the truth is a lot more fun, I think. Trying to keep up with the lies, I think telling the truth is a lot more fun, actually. I will leave this with you. And if you're thinking this afternoon, or maybe you've been thinking for a while where you are in your relationship with God, that you need to improve on something, that you want the congregation to pray about something, now is the time to be honest. We've been talking about the truth enough this afternoon. Will you respond? We have a moment as we invite you to come forward while we stand, while we sing.